Media app.
CBS News Brief. Ukraine says it is open to a U.S. proposal for a 30-day ceasefire deal. National Security Advisor Mike Waltz.
The Ukrainian delegation today made something very clear, that they share President Trump's vision for peace. They share his determination to end the fighting.
Trump says he'll likely speak to Russian President Putin this week. Ontario's Premier Doug Ford says he'll pull back on the 25% tariffs on electricity in three U.S. states.
The temperature needs to come down. And I thought this was the right decision. They understand how serious we are about the electricity and the tariffs.
CBS News has just learned that President Trump is no longer imposing 50% tariffs on steel and aluminum. Southwest Airlines will start charging you for your bags.
You are telling almost all of your customers your business doesn't matter to us anymore.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Tune in this week to Seth Faces the Music, where I'll be playing songs about going fast. Don't blink, you might miss it. Check it out every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. UW system leaders say the Trump administration's cuts to research funding will impact their efforts to find cures for cancer, Alzheimer's disease, and many more initiatives. Savannah Tolme Olson has the story.
Wisconsin currently gets about $653 million in research funding from the National Institutes of Health. Just one example of what these researchers are working on. Professor Sterling Johnson is leading a study to help diagnose Alzheimer's disease years before people even have symptoms and ways to slow disease progression.
The Alzheimer's Center is providing a lot of the glue. It's helping us train the next generation of scientists who will be facing the future iterations of this disease.
Sigrid Canuti has been participating in that research at UW for 20 years.
I'm in the study because I'm a woman, and therefore I have a 50% chance, higher rate of having Alzheimer's than a man. I'm also in it because I'm a daughter of someone who had Alzheimer's, which increases my risk. I have had cognitive tests, MRIs, PET scans, spinal taps, and even an endurance test on a treadmill. I really feel like I've been honored to be a part of this. It's so big, it's so important, and it's very hopeful.
On top of that, UW System President Jay Rothman says these research cuts will harm Wisconsin's economy. Advocates say biomedical research and tech companies come to Madison because of the sophisticated research and the highly skilled researchers coming out of UW. Wisconsin is part of a lawsuit against the Trump administration fighting these cuts. Last week, a judge put the administration's plans on hold a second time, but that's only temporary. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers get the win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports baseball. The Brewers beat the Seattle Mariners 7-5 in Cactus League action. Christian Yelich, coming off back surgery, delivered a home run.
Each year you feel different, or your swing's a little bit different, and you just have to prepare yourself with what you got that year and make it the best version of, you know, yourself and go compete and see what happens.
Up next, the Brewers face the Cubs. NFL free agency. Packers signing two players. 49ers offensive guard Aaron Banks, 6'5", 325 pounds. It's a four-year deal worth $77 million. He'll play left guard. Elton Jenkins will move to center. Josh Myers is a free agent. On defense, the Packers adding defensive back Nate Hobbs from the Raiders. A four-year contract worth $48 million, $16 million guaranteed. The Packers losing T.J. Slayton to the Bengals. The defensive lineman getting a two-year deal worth just over $15 million. Bucks on the road tonight in Indy against the Pacers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low in the upper 20s. For tomorrow, sunshine returns and warmer. Highs in the mid-50s and up into the low 60s and partly to mostly sunny Thursday. Near 70 Friday with showers and storms late and breezy. Right now it's 48.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. Our old friend Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio will be along to talk about the Protecting Justice for All conference, which will air on Civic Media, along with Trevi Olson. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Tuesday, March 11th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 4:30 today, we're going to have Realty Radio. David Farnborough is going to be joining us. Looking forward to that. Right now, though, in part one, our good friend, Promise Bakken, going to be with us, Marketing and Communication Director with the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. Promise, good to see you. How you been?
Good morning. Good to see you, too. I've been great. How have you been?
Doing good. Thank you for asking. We got so much to talk about today. You guys are so busy over there. But if you don't mind, I do want to rewind really quick and just hear how things went with the event the other week.
Oh, it's our annual awards meeting. Yeah. Or, you know, 77th annual awards meeting banquet.
So, I thought it was the 77th, and I was afraid to say it because I wasn't sure if I was right. But how did that go?
Overall, I think it went really well. I think we had around 250 people, you know, show up to it. We had Janelle Haferman from Haferman Counseling be our Mission Moment speaker. And we had some really great awards that were awarded out throughout the night. I have Dan McCarville from Hartel Monuments won the Business Professional of the Year. And it just touched a soft spot for me because he's also in our leads group and he's very active in the community. So that's one of the ones that I really was happy to see happen, you know. So
that's good to hear. And a shout out to him and all the award winners and nominees and everything. It's such a cool thing that you guys do over there and a nice opportunity for us to highlight so many of our great individuals in our community. And I want to thank you guys for treating Pam well. I know that she had a good time down there, too. So thank you for that.
I was just talking to her about it. She had a really good experience. She was happy with everything. And then she was excited that she got to dress up a little bit. And we did see a lot of people dressing up. So I was pretty happy about that. It was
I really plan on being at next year's in part so that I can I don't get to dress nice very often. Oh. So just if anything for that. But it's a great event. Yeah. We're looking forward to next year's. And we're looking forward to the legislative breakfast. That is right around the corner, Promise.
Yeah, actually. So we're gearing up to close registration pretty soon on this one. So I know we've been saying that it closes on March 14th, but we are filling up pretty fast, especially today. We've been having a lot of registrations coming through today. So we might actually fill up and sell out. So if you're interested in attending legislative breakfast, it's March 21st over at Mid-State Technical College, and it's from 7 a.m. to 9:15 a.m. And I would register today if you can get in on our website at wisconsinravagechamber.com and register there or give us a call. We can register you too on our end as well. But this is a really great one to come to. We sit down, we have some breakfast, and we hear some, you know, updates from the legislators and local community representatives. And there's also an opportunity to ask questions from the floor. So if you are an attendee, write down your questions. There'll be time for those to be answered towards the end. And just a shout out to our sponsors on this one: U.S. Bank, Findorf, Ho-Chunk Gaming, Nakusa, Enbridge, Domtar, and Mid-State Technical College. We couldn't do this event without their sponsorship, so thank you.
Big shout out to them. And a big thank you to all the representatives and all the people that are going to be coming down for this and everything. This is an important one. It becomes more and more important every year. And I'm fortunate I get to speak with Senator Teston, Representative Krug once a month. And I talk to these guys on air and off air. Right. And I cannot stress enough to people out there how important these are to them. Right. This is an opportunity for them to hear straight from you, like eye to eye, you know, straight up, and being able to ask your questions, the ones, and they want to answer. Mm-hmm. They want to listen to their constituents. Regardless of where you fall politically and whether you agree or disagree with these gentlemen, I will put my name on this. These guys care about this community and they want to hear from you, whether we agree or disagree. I will encourage people to act like adults. I will encourage people to be on your best behavior and all that, in part because I think we need to get back to that. So here's a great opportunity for it, as well as a great opportunity for you to ask these questions to our representatives straight up. They want to hear from you. I appreciate Mid-State hosting this, all of these great sponsors, certainly all the people coming down to be, you know, talked to, and the chamber for hosting this and having an event like this. Yeah. It is too good of an opportunity to miss out on, everybody. If you want to be a part of this, register now. Like I wouldn't wait until the 14th. I would not wait on this one. And it's interesting how these things happen, Promise, because sometimes we were talking about an event for a month, and then all of a sudden, like a week before, that's right around the corner. So it gets lost in the shuffle sometimes, and it's understandable. But get to that. Get over to WisconsinRapidsChamber.com and register today, everyone. Yes. And registration is filling up quick, so keep that in mind. Careers Unlimited Job Fair is right around the corner as well.
Yeah, so our Careers Unlimited Job Fair is going to be held on April 2nd at the Lincoln High School. We are now accepting booth registrations. I think there is about a handful left. It's first come, first serve. We're filling up on that one as well. If you're interested in participating, I would register for that one because the deadline's on the 12th for that one as well. One of the great things about this one, too, is we're going to have about 100, you know, high school students funnel through the job fair prior to opening it to the general public. And I think that gives them a great opportunity to experience firsthand what a job fair looks like, feels like, how they should behave, how they should dress, and get that face-to-face interaction with, you know, businesses that are hiring. So that's, if you're a company in town that is looking to hire younger talent for, you know, some of those more physical jobs, this is a great opportunity to be, you know, right in front of 100 high school students that are actively looking for, you know, employment.
Everything I was saying before about asking our representatives questions face to face, here's the same type of thing for, employees out there.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that one.
You mentioned the registration deadline. That's March 12th?
Yep. Okay. That's this week as well. So, like I said, there is a couple of booth spaces open. I could be completely wrong on that, but from what I'm hearing, I think there's about a handful left. There might be, you know, 6, 7, 8, maybe 10. But I know that we're trying to fill it with, you know, 40 to, you know, 60 booths there. So it's going to be a bigger one, especially with a space like over at Lincoln High School. Yeah. There's an opportunity to really have a lot of booths there.
I've actually been to a job fair at Lincoln back when I was a senior over there and everything, and it was a game changer for me. Yeah. I did not find my future job there. I didn't find necessarily a future career there. What I was able to do was really talk to businesses and people and ask questions and understand a little bit more about, oh, this industry. Okay, well, maybe this isn't for me. Or, oh, wow, I never would have thought of this.
Right.
I never would have. I love radio. I really do. But like a lot of people out there, I like listening to radio. I never thought about being on it, even as a young actor and all those things. The job fair really opened my mind to more where can I take my skill set? Yeah. I've got this particular skill set. What can I do with it? And, oh, I didn't even know this fit my skill set in some of that, or things that I enjoy doing. There's so many of those questions you're able to ask right there.
Yeah.
And there's the other part of this, too, where we have a fear, and understandably to a degree, of the people skills in our younger generation and them having more opportunities for that. Here's a great opportunity for that.
Right.
And a great opportunity for you as a business to help with that, to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. We all know, like you touched on, Promise, how much people are looking for good young employees and everything. Right. Here's an opportunity not only to do that and let people understand your industry a little bit better, but even just you don't know who they're going to tell.
Right.
So I came across a place that did staining. And did some of that and everything. And I've done a lot of that work in my life, but it wasn't looking what I was looking to do for a career. But my best friend was.
Yeah.
And I told him about it. And that's what he ended up doing.
Oh,
so
nice.
You just don't know who you might connect with or who might share this information.
Right.
There's so many levels of opportunity with this. Are there you mentioned booths are still available. Are there any sponsorships available still?
Nope. Again, I left that in there, but...
Oh, that's good news. Yeah. That's great.
We were looking for one more, but we did sell that last week.
Right.
So all of our sponsorships are full for this one. But, you know, another great way of getting your business in included is doing the booth there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think another great thing about the job fair, too, is that, you know, it's really easy to, you know, just drive down 8th Street and not even realize how many businesses you're passing. So the job fair will provide an opportunity for all the businesses that are actively looking for, you know, employees, you know, upcoming soon here. So
I do this job. I talk to multiple people a week about things going on in our community. And I kid you not, everybody, I did not know there was a Marshalls in town.
I didn't know.
It took me like probably 2 weeks after it was open or something like that before I finally realized it was there. And I am very in tune with this community.
Yeah.
And a shout out to Marshalls. I'm glad to have you in town. Welcome them here. But I just use it as an example. When my family moved to the west side of Rapids, we didn't know about the Little Pink Restaurant. And my parents went there for years went there for quite a while before they retired and everything. There's so many great businesses in this area, and we're very fortunate to have this is a kind of a good problem to have in some ways where there are businesses that get lost in the shuffle, but that's all the more reason for you to be a part of something like this and get your business out there.
Right. I agree.
Again, if people want to register for this one, WisconsinRapidsChamber.com, be sure to head on over there. We'll give you a phone number to call as well before we wrap up today. Or actually, it's a different number. So you want to give that one for if people want to be a part of the Careers Unlimited Job Fair?
Yeah, if they want to just call Laura Bonner Ridgeway directly and sign up for the career fair, her direct line is 715-422-4860. And I do believe she is in office today and the rest of the week. So.
Oh, very cool. Networking at Night is coming up, one of our favorite events you guys host.
Yeah, Networking at Night is on March 17th over at Paper City Savings Bank on 8th Street there from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. So this one is it's an opportunity for our members to network together, and we also have it open to future members. So if you're in town and you have a small business and you're trying to figure out ways of expanding or growing or increasing your exposure in the community, this is a great one to come to. Not only will you be able to meet other members, but then we'll be able to give you some information on membership for the chamber as well, and include all the things that we do for our members, give you some information there as well. There's going to be raffle prizes, and I'm wondering if they're going to do a Mardi Gras theme.
Ooh, yeah.
That would be nice.
That would be cool. That'd be a good idea.
Yeah. But then I'm also very excited for, others to see their new building, renovations?
Yeah.
Yeah, the outside of it looks really pretty.
It really does. Yeah. I'd love to see how it looks on the inside, too. Shout out to our friends at Paper City Savings Bank, too. Great people over there.
Yes.
And always putting into the community, too. And hosting an event like this just shows that even more. It'll be nice to see the new building and everything. Mm-hmm. But it's something that Promise and I talk about every time we get together and we talk about these. So much of what the Chamber does is certainly helping our local businesses be promoted and get them out there and all these things. Another key part of what the Chamber does is giving people an opportunity to communicate and to run into each other for synergy, for camaraderie, for fellowship, for all these things. We want business A and business B to be able to work together.
Right.
We want nonprofit A and B to work together.
Right.
But we also just, love the idea of community members just being able to interact and talk and hang out and share likenesses and things. Right. And it only brings us closer as a community and stronger together as a community.
Yeah.
I love talking to people. I remember when you guys first started doing this and I would have people come in and talk about, oh, you got the chamber coming up. Tell them I love this event.
Oh,
tell them I ran into so-and-so and I haven't seen them since high school or something along those lines.
Yeah.
While the event is great to get these businesses out there and to even see businesses, maybe you haven't seen the new Paper City Savings building, and this is a good opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
Those are all great reasons, but I love the fact that we have this organic kind of thing happen with this as well. well, where, you know, people getting to run into each other and people getting to talk and come, you know, just communicate in person, you know, not through text or social media, but just hanging out. You know, that's we just don't have enough of that in life. And I love that you guys do this, along with certainly all the opportunities that we have here where, well, I didn't think that this business and this business could work together very well. But you know what? I think we have something here. Let's talk this out. And you're able to do that through these events.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. And then one of the things that, too, that I kind of want to piggyback off some of the comments you made about like that face-to-face interaction is I think I should mention that we have a new program called the Community Connection Program. And what this is, it's a program that allows our employers in their community to reach out to us. You know, they have like a new hire that they're trying to recruit. So they're trying to sell their business, their company, but they're kind of like needing help selling the community. And that's where we can step in at the chamber. So if you have those new hires that are flying in for interviews and you kind of want somebody to sell the community for you, reach out to us. We have some great package deals. We take them out on tours. We get to know them a little bit better, know what they're interested in, if they have a family, you know, what kind of extracurricular activities they like to do. And then we highlight those areas in our community for that person, for your company. So Stacey Keevy is a great person to reach out to for that one. Otherwise, you can reach out to me directly as well. You can give us a call at 715-422-4861. And this is really a great program. I did some training on it with Stacey because she's done a couple of the tours prior too. One with Lauren from ERCO Worldwide,
cool.
And she's now on our board. She said that the tour was like fabulous and it's what kind of sold her on the area. We can show you where there's available like housing, you know, what kind of communities you would like to live in. And then we can show you where the stores and, you know, the good food is. And I think that anybody that's looking to hire from recruits, a potential hire from out of state could really use, you know, our services in helping sell the community because we have so many assets in the areas and the business itself wants to sit there and focus on, you know, what they can offer their employee. But then once you're outside of that building, there's kind of like these gaps that we want to fill in for our members.
You know, promise, my one problem with this is that it wasn't around 20 years ago when I moved to this area. I would have loved to have been by.
Yeah.
This is such a cool idea.
Yeah.
What a fantastic idea. And our community is growing and getting stronger, whether it's new businesses we see in town here or it's new individuals to run, you know, be in those buildings and everything. This is a great opportunity for those families to really just understand what our community is like and what it is to be a part of this area. The opportunity along with that to kind of be able to promote certain our businesses in general and just our schools, all of the above. Again, while the chamber focuses, or you know, you may think the focus is on businesses and that, there's certainly some focus there, but the chamber is about promoting Rapids.
Right.
The chamber is promoting this whole area.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a way of doing that and also really... I think showing what a great way to be able to show people what we're about. I don't know if I'm wording that right or very well, but I feel like the intent is there.
Yeah.
I don't know how you'd put in the words what it is to be in this area or live in this area,
right.
But this shows you how it is.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah, we will physically drive your potential new hire or the person you're trying to recruit to areas of interest tailored to that person to help sell the community and help sell that business for you so you can have, we like to keep our talent in the area.
Yes.
So that's one of the other reasons too why we decided to launch this program, and we're ready. We're ready for people to reach out and we're ready to start taking tours for new hires.
This has been an issue since we were kids, not just in Rapids here, but in all rural communities, and hanging on to your talent.
Yeah.
One of the things that's been, I think, encouraging to see is a lot of that talent either staying there or coming back to the area after school or after they do a job here and they come back here or something along those lines. But I think just as encouraging is seeing this new blood come into town and some of this new life being brought into town. It's all very positive. And Very encouraging. Yeah. Today is 5 years since the COVID-19 hit, really, and it was announced as an epidemic. And I'm very big on perspective.
Yeah.
And I saw this as an opportunity for us to be able to kind of all take a step back and have some perspective on our given area here in central Wisconsin. And around the country, there are a lot of places that are hurting pretty bad. Mm-hmm. And I'm not making light of anybody struggling out there, but our area is doing pretty good in consideration. Yeah. And I think it's never bad the idea to appreciate that, but also to appreciate the people that helped that. I think the chamber is a major part of that. I think that promoting these local businesses is a big part of why we're doing well and why we're thriving and bringing in new people and new businesses.
Yeah.
So all the more reason to have a program like this.
Yeah.
If there's somebody out there hearing this and they'd like to learn more about that program promise, would they contact you or, as you mentioned, Stacy, yep. Go and get that information again?
Yep. You can contact me directly or Stacy Keevy. You can give us a call at our office line at 715-423-1830. Or we do have some information on our website right now and our emails are listed as well. So,
And speaking of the website promise, you teed me up perfectly there. As we're talking about the job fair and some of these other things, I want to remind our audience and employees or employers out there that another great thing about your website is the workforce segment and the economic development segments on there. We don't always get a chance to touch on those things. They're great resources for anybody out there.
Yeah.
If somebody out there is looking for employment and maybe you're not seeing the jobs you were hoping for on other websites or anything like that. Yep. Please check out the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce's website, and especially to any businesses out there. If you're looking to advertise, this is as local as you get.
Right, yeah.
It's straight right local. So it's a great opportunity to be really get a lot of that in-between stuff out of the way.
Yeah.
And just no middleman, none of that. Mm-hmm. You're straight up with the employee. It's a good opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you are a member, you can post as many open job positions as you'd like on our job board. That's a free benefit for our members, and there's no cap on those or limits on those. You can have 10 jobs one day and 20 jobs the next day. If you need to hire a whole new staff, you can put all those positions on there for free.
What a great resource. Yeah. And there's other great resources along with everything Promise and I just talked about, all at WisconsinRapidsChamber.com. Be sure to bookmark that page and keep it handy because you're going to be using it a lot. There's a lot of great events going on and a lot of good things happening. Promise, we're going to wrap up here. Before we do, if people have follow-up questions, they would like to reach out to you or the chamber and ask more, how can they do that?
Yeah, they can definitely give me a call at my direct line at 715-422-4856 or shoot me an email at marketing at WisconsinRapidsChamber.com.
Be sure to reach out to Promise with all of those needs that you have and be a part of these events, everybody, and promote these events as well. Follow the Chamber on social media, especially on Facebook.
Yes.
When you see them post things, share them on your page. You just never know who might see them that wouldn't otherwise. It's a great way to also help the Chamber promote your area. And by doing that, you're helping our economy.
Yeah.
And all you did was hit share. That's it. And it impacted our community. So it's a great way of doing that. And always great talking with you, Promise. Say hi to the team over there for us. We'll see you soon.
All right.
And we encourage you to stick around. We got more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
1849. Ban on abortions, which, by the way, what is squat about that?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squat about that?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is squat about that?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. At a meeting in Stevens Point last night, the possibility of adding a staffing position of a city administrator was discussed during a committee meeting. Civic Media's Derek Tritz reports.
After backlash from the community and a guest appearance from the mayor of Superior, Wisconsin, Stevens Point will not be moving forward with plans to create a city administrator position. A personnel committee meeting was held Monday night for discussion and possible action on a city administrator role. Public input opened with Superior Mayor Jim Payne's own experience with how his residents took to a similar proposition.
During the whole conversation, the public was really furious about this, the idea of reducing their mayor, whoever that may be, to a part-time status, to not work full-time in their interest, was really offensive to the people of Superior. That referendum failed 70 to 30. It was actually a little more than 70 to 30.
Many city administrator and mayor combinations result in a reduction of the mayoral role, but this is not a prerequisite for the position and was not outlined in this meeting's memo. Payne's comments were echoed by many of the community members in attendance. A few even expressed their disagreements with the current mayor of Stevens Point, Mike Wiesa, but agreed that they did not want to weaken the mayoral role or put more of their money towards a city administrator. There were also those who expressed support for the role despite not taking action during the meeting, like Alderperson Laura Broderick.
I don't think this is a change that we should go ahead with if we don't have support from all parties involved, and it is very clear that this has been portrayed in such a way that I don't believe that that's possible right now. And that is a shame, because I do believe that this can be an incredibly effective model of government.
While there was no action taken on the city administrator role this time, there is still a possibility that the subject will be brought up again at a later date.
You can find more news and sign up for our newsletter at WFHR.com. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. I was very excited to see Bong Joon-ho's new film, Mickey 17. After big wins on Oscar night 5 years ago, which saw him bring home the Best Director and Best Picture Oscar for Parasite, Joon-ho took a big swing with a big budget on Mickey 17. The film stars Robert Pattinson as Mickey, who is on his 17th life, who tries to figure out if creatures on an ice-covered planet are friends or foes. He uses an annoying voice the entire film, but the film does have a nice message. Ultimately, Mickey 17 was pretty tough to get through. James Bond passed away in 2021 in the film No Time to Die. But did you honestly think that would stop studios from making more Bond movies? Despite speculation that there would be a female Bond, multiple sources report that it is not happening and 007 will stay male and British. The search continues for who will play 007. Personally, I think it might be time for a chubby Bond who has halitosis and can't get girls. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low in the upper 20s. For tomorrow, sunshine returns and warmer, highs in the mid-50s, and up into the low 60s and partly to mostly sunny Thursday. Near 70 Friday with showers and storms late and breezy. Right now, it's 48.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trump and Vance verbally assaulted the president of Ukraine, an ally of the U.S. Trump defending the president of Russia, a known dictator. This is a complete capitulation to our sworn enemies. And it's time for Republicans, my former party that I left in 2011, to speak the hell up. Because if we don't, it's not going to be long before we don't have anything left to defend.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Coming up Wednesday morning, a preview of our live Supreme Court event, the stakes of the election in terms of education, reproductive rights, and the economy.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Tuesday, March 11th, 2025. Have your host, James, here, and I am joined right now by David Farnborough and Realty Radio. Let's talk some radio. Let's talk Realty with David and get into some fun stuff here. David, thank you very much for joining us. How you been?
I've been very well, thank you. It's wonderful to be with you again.
Always appreciate the time, the topics. We get to really dive into some things in the real estate area that we don't always get a chance to do that with. And this one, I think, is an important one, and one that buyer, seller, people just thinking about it out there are going to find this a very informative and interesting topic, because we're going to talk about home inspections. Let's dive into this one, David.
Right. And it's something that is very important because you're making a big financial commitment and it's also where you're going to be living. Now, a lot of what the home inspectors check is things like safety. And there are some things which we let go in our own homes, but when you're selling it, it all goes under the microscope. And sometimes there are things that you didn't even know were a safety hazard that might be identified.
So you kind of give us that's a basic breakdown of what a home inspection is. Is there parts of a home inspection that, you know, we wouldn't realize, especially if we haven't had one done before?
Yes. And the home inspector tests a lot of things. Now, when you go and you look at a house to see if you want to buy it, you're depending on the individual. Some people are only in there for 5 or 10 minutes. They just walk in, walk out and say yes or no. Some people take 30 to 45 minutes to look around a house, and it obviously depends on the size. But the home inspector is usually there for 3 to 4 hours. And again, that just depends on the size of the home, how many outbuildings there are. You know, some of these houses you've got 5 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms, and 2 3-stall garages. Well, he's going to be there for 5 hours to do that. If it's a 2-bedroom home with no garage, he'll probably get it done in probably 2 hours. Well, but a lot longer than we spend when we just go for our walk around.
When it comes to home inspection, they're inspecting the whole house too, right? I mean, crawl spaces, little areas you might not have thought of.
They do. Most of the home inspectors are extremely conscientious. In fact, all of the ones I've worked with have been. And what they have to do is, if you have a roof space, then they have to go up into the roof space if they can. If it is not acceptable, then they'll at least try and look up there and shine a flashlight round. And they're checking for things like the structural integrity of the roof. So if they see any beams have been cut or anything's rotten, they'll report that. They'll look at things like whether there is any mold on the wood, although they don't like to call it mold because it might be something that's a different type of microbial growth. And they'll always, if they see anything like that, they'll always say this must be tested by a specialist. The other thing they check when they go into the roof is for insulation. Because most homes, you know, depending on the age of the home, will have something. It'll either be a modern cellulose insulation, which is very efficient, or it'll be something like fiberglass. But if it was fiberglass insulation that was put up there in the 70s or 80s, you may only have about 4 inches of it. Now they recommend about 12 inches. Now, if you go back in time to the 40s and 50s, then you might have a vermiculite insulation, which can sometimes contain asbestos. And that's something that the home inspector might discover that the homeowner just didn't know about, because who goes up in their roof space unless they need to, you know, run some new wires for their lighting?
I worked at a radio station when I was out in California. It's been around for a very long time, and a big shout out to them. And the building that we worked in was an old home that's been kind of manufactured to have a bunch of different businesses in it. And I've been in that building a bunch. I was talking to my old PD this weekend, just going over something, and he tells me, well, we're not even in the studio. I'm like, why? Well,
yeah.
Asbestos.
Right.
Like, asbestos. Like, it's still that, you know, I think in 2025, we don't think that that's still a thing sometimes, but that's still a thing sometimes.
Yeah. And it's important to not panic when you hear the word asbestos, because as obviously there's two things that asbestos was really useful for, and one was the heatproof properties or fireproof properties, and the second is its fibrous nature, which means it was used a lot of the time as a sort of binding agent in things like floor tiles and in shingles on the siding. So it does have its uses, but the problem with asbestos is most of the time if it gets into any sort of particles that can be breathed in. Now, with that insulation, because it's a powder, then that in itself can be a problem. But when you find things like floor tiles, it might be perfectly fine if the floor tiles are not disturbed or chipped. So a home inspector will be able to identify these things, and they'll be able to say, well, this is what your options are. Mm. You can either have these taken up professionally by people with the correct equipment and hazmat suits and things, or you can enclose it, and in those cases, they're not touched. But a home inspector will have a pretty good idea of whether something is likely to contain asbestos. They won't say, this contains asbestos. They'll say, in floor tiles of this type from this era, they most often contain asbestos, and therefore you should exercise caution if you want to replace them.
David, who does the home inspections?
Well, home inspectors have to be licensed by the state, and they go through quite a rigorous training course. They are extremely knowledgeable. They also, in our state, they tend to be members of a professional association, which has the highest standards. They have requirements about what they have to inspect, and they're allowed to do limited testing. They're not allowed to do anything that would be destructive, so they can't take down the paneling from the basement to look at the to see whether there are any cracks in the foundation, but they can test the outlets, and the they can do testing to see if there's any gas leaks. These are what we might call non-invasive tests.
I think for some people, they might think that these were done by realtors or some of these things. It's interesting to hear, it's an actual profession, it's an actual job and some of that. And I find that part very interesting.
Yeah, and the nice thing is that these home inspectors are usually really conscientious. They know that it's someone's home, and they know that the person's going to be investing a substantial amount of money. They'll often point out things that we didn't even think about. Like, one of the things that comes up quite a lot is when you have a home that was built before the 1980s, you often have an attached garage. And sometimes you can access the roof space from that garage just by going through a hole in the top of the garage. Now, those spaces really should have a firewall up, which is a specific type of material that would be fire retardant. And the reason for that is that many house fires start in the garage because you've got your vehicle, you've got fuel, and often other materials there. And this would just help prevent it spreading to the house. They also check things like whether there are fire doors between the house and the garage, because if you don't, then again, the fire can spread a lot more quickly than if you have that in place.
A quick hypothesis for you, David, because I think that sometimes if you think of a home inspection and you're a seller and they come in and they're inspecting and, oh, what are they going to find wrong? This could bring down value.
Yeah.
To me, and again, this is not my wheelhouse. I'm learning from you and others.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. because I can get more from my home. If they do this inspection and say A is wrong and I got to fix A, I fix A, I'm able to, you know, possibly charge what I wanted to for my home or even more possibly. This can be a good thing overall for sellers.
This is one of the questions about when a home inspection is done, because traditionally a home inspection is done after the offer is accepted. Now, not every offer has a home inspection contingency. Sometimes when there's a very competitive situation, a buyer will choose to forego a home inspection because they want to make things easier for the seller so they can have a competitive advantage over another buyer. But most of the time, an offer will have home inspection contingency, which will mean that once the seller has accepted the buyer's offer, the buyer then has a certain period, usually about 2 weeks, to get a home inspector in. And then whatever the results of that inspection are, then there may be some further negotiation. Now, you raise a very good point. A seller can actually have a home inspection done themselves. And this is a very good way of preparing a home for sale. Now, there is a potential that you could open Pandora's box. So your home inspector could reveal so many things that you have to address. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have the money to address them all, then you'll be in a situation where legally you have to disclose them because you're now aware of them. Mm-hmm. But it is one very good way to prepare a home if you have the resources to deal with it. Home inspection usually costs between $400 or $500. Because you are using somebody who is skilled and qualified, who spends a lot of time at the property. And then after they've been at the property, they have to prepare the report. And that all takes time and equipment as well. So it isn't just something you want to say, yep, we'll have a home inspection when we're selling. But it's something that you should seriously consider. Because if you can then present that report to a buyer and say, well, look, these things came up and we've addressed them all, the buyer will have a lot of confidence. Now, if I'm representing a buyer when a home inspection report has already been done, I'll say to the buyer, you must bear in mind that this report was not done for you. It was done for somebody else. Mm-hmm. So if there's a mistake in the home inspection report, you don't have the protection of being able to go back to the home inspector and say, hey, you made a mistake. So sometimes a buyer, even in those situations, would want to have their own inspection done.
Was there any more that you wanted? I feel like you answered pretty well already before I even asked, really. When should a home inspection be done?
Yep.
Kind of nailed that one. Any more you wanted to add to that? Or?
No, there's nothing more, okay. Really. Just that sometimes what happens is that the home inspector identifies certain things that need a further investigation. So one example is the mold test that we talked about before. Mm-hmm. But there can be all sorts of things that require a specialist investigation that they might put in their report. Like you might need a structural investigation if there's something wrong with the foundation, or if they identify a problem with the gas line, then you'll want to get a gas inspector in to look at that.
We're talking Realty Radio with our friend David Farnborough. And David, what are the most common issues that come up during a home inspection?
Well, almost every home inspection, even when it's a home that looks perfect, will have some things come up. And I usually say to buyers, just to prepare them, that you'll probably have between about 10 and 20 things on this home inspection. And when I say things, I'm talking about things that are identified as defects. So these are the, if you like, there's a sort of traffic light system. So there's the red, which would be the defects. There's the amber, which are things that are maybe not necessarily a defect, but there's something that you might want to deal with as a future maintenance item just to prevent a problem arising. And then the green, of course, are the things which are tested and are okay. So the most common things that come up are usually electrical and plumbing problems. And most of the time they arise when people have done what we would call handyman electrical work or handyman plumbing. Now, people can do their own electrical work in their home, but obviously it's sensible to know what the rules are and what the code is. And a lot of people don't know that. Some of these things I can see when I walk through a house. Mm-hmm. So I can see when a power cable is not properly routed through the beams in a basement as it should be, and when it's just been tacked onto the underneath, or when sometimes a power cable is just loose. You know, I can see those things. Mm. But a home inspector is much more detailed. So they will go to the electrical panel, they'll unscrew the cover, and then they'll look at all the connections. And they'll look for things that we wouldn't even think about, like whether somebody has put two circuits on one lug, which might overload it. Or sometimes they might tap a ground in with a neutral, which was very common about 30 years ago. There are lots of things that they can see that we wouldn't know. They also know, by looking at the electrical panel, whether it might be a model that has been recalled. So, you know, sometimes I see one which I've had called out by electrical, by home inspectors before, and I think, oh, I know that's a bad one, but I'll leave that to the home inspector, because they'll be able to confirm definitively if that's one that's been recalled for safety.
How can sellers best prepare their home to avoid surprises during the inspection process?
Well, obviously the big one is to get a home inspector in yourself, but there is a cost to that. When you're preparing a home for sale, your realtor will come through the home and just make notes on things anyway. You know, the realtor has to do the measurements, and they have to be able to you know, say what type of fuel it has, what type of heating and cooling, etc. So the realtor will check a lot of things. And one of the things they will be looking out for will be some of the more obvious things that would be brought up by a home inspector. So your realtor isn't going to take the cover off your electrical panel, but your realtor might say, I'm looking at your water heater, and I can see that your water heater should have a pipe attached to there in case the relief valve blows, and that pipe should be directed to the floor, but that pipe isn't there. And the realtor will be able to say to the homeowner, if you get that fixed now, it'll probably cost a plumber $100 to do it, and that will be better than having that coming up on the home inspection.
Yeah.
So a few little things like that, and some bigger things, a realtor will be able to spot and advise the homeowner to fix. If they spot those things and the homeowner doesn't want to fix them, then they do have to be disclosed.
You've touched on a little of these. Are there any other red flags that buyers should be especially cautious about?
Well, I think the main thing is safety. That's the most important thing, because sometimes we can be a little blasé with safety. One of the things that I see come up a lot is when a home inspector determines that there isn't sufficient means to escape in case of fire. And this might be something like you have a bedroom in the basement, but if you look at the window in the bedroom, it is not large enough, or it is not sufficiently close to the floor to be an egress window. And sometimes people say, well, that's all right, because we'll just use it when our friends come to stay. Okay, so what if your friend comes to stay and then the staircase catches fire? Well, sorry, but your friend isn't going to do very well. So these safety things need to be taken seriously. And if you're going to have a bedroom in the basement, you need to make sure that it's got the proper means of escape.
David, I believe you and my mom know each other, and I didn't know that you knew this much about it. I had this conversation with my parents when I was a kid. I set up the basement. I had a cool room down there. I'm all ready to move in. I was bringing my boombox down there, and my dad's like, "Nah, you're not doing that."
Yeah.
And it was all for these reasons. It's an important thing to remember, especially when it comes to that. How tempting that is to put a room down there. It's a good one to bring up.
Yeah. And fire things get brought up a lot. One of the things we see a lot is absence of smoke alarms. Mm-hmm. Most people who die in fires die through inhalation of smoke, not through getting burned. And a smoke alarm gives you that time you need to get out.
As we're wrapping up, David, how should repairs or concessions be negotiated after an inspection report?
Well, this is something that varies from transaction to transaction. And sometimes you have a situation where either buyer or seller find it very difficult to move on the price that they've agreed. But your realtor will help you negotiate that and will advise you on what's achievable and what is desirable. So sometimes you won't be able to come to an agreement because you might say, well, you know, we need $10,000 worth of work done to this foundation. And the seller can say, well, I'm not paying for that and I'm not doing it. So then the buyer might have to walk away. But that's why you have a home inspection, because otherwise you could buy your house and then find you've got to do $10,000 worth of work.
Is that something that the homeowners can kind of reach out to you and realtor, other realtors about? And you know, hey, I don't know who to go to fix this. And you kind of be a middleman or help with those things? Or?
Yeah, we can with a lot of things. You know, I have a good contacts book. Obviously, it's not a literal book. It's all on my phone. It's all digital. I have people who have done work for me and for my clients in the past, people I know who are ethical and who will charge a reasonable rate. Mm-hmm. And I will happily pass those on to my clients.
And David, as we're wrapping up here, if people have follow-up questions, they want to know more, reach out to you in general, how can they do that?
Well, the easiest way to get to me directly is by texting or calling 715-323-8594. They can get to me through my website, rapidshomes.com, or they can contact me via my Facebook page, which is David Farnborough Realtor.
Encourage you to do that, everybody. Reach out to David. You can a trusted source in this game. And Realty Radio will be back with us next month. We're looking forward to hanging out with you again real soon. Thanks for the time, David. We'll talk again real soon.
Thank you very much.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you. On Wednesday's edition, in part one, we'll have our friends, family, really, Family Natural Foods, Stephen and Katrina Hittner. And in part two tomorrow, Encourage with Kim Shields and Linda. We'll have Linda and Casey and Elizabeth with us. We're going to talk about the Prairie Chicken Festival coming up Thursday. UW Extension's Laura Huber will be with us, and we'll have more for you on Friday. We do have some Wisconsin basketball Big Ten tournament going on, so that might interrupt some of our programming. Keep that in mind, everybody. And keep in mind, you can catch all of these interviews and future interviews at civicmedia.us, civicmedia.us. Go there, find all of our shows, as well as WFHR.com. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
How are the Trump policies going to affect agriculture? We'll find out with Zachiel Torres-Small, who was the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture in the Biden administration.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Ready for the April election? Here's a special invitation for you. Join the free Protecting Justice for All conversation about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race Wednesday, March 12th from 5 till 7 p.m. at the Overture Center in Madison.
Up North News Radio host Pat Kreitlow, Civic Media's Todd Alba and Dan Schaefer will lead a guest discussion about the economy, education, environment, and more. Then stay for the candidates' debate watch party.
Attend in person or listen to live coverage from the Overture Center in Madison Wednesday night, March 12th from 5 till 7 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. An agreement has been reached that officials hope will lead to an end to the Ukraine war. Kyiv says it's open to a 30-day ceasefire if Russia agrees. Secretary of State Marco Rubio.
Before you can negotiate, you have to stop shooting at each other. And that's what the president has wanted to see. And that's the commitment we got today from the Ukrainian side, their willingness to do that.
The back and forth on tariffs has impacted Wall Street. Business reporter Jason Brooks.
The Dow dropped 478 points. The NASDAQ lost 32 points. And the S&P fell 42 points to 5572.
While a 25% tariff on steel and aluminum goes into effect tomorrow for Canada, President Trump decided not to double it. The NTSB is calling for immediate changes at Reagan National Airport. Chairman Jennifer Homendy says the current helicopter routes...
They pose an intolerable risk to aviation safety.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Hi, this is Beth, inviting you to join me for The Kitchen's Open, the show within the show, each Monday morning at 9 a.m. on The Morning Show on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. UW system leaders say the Trump administration's cuts to research funding will impact their efforts to find cures for cancer, Alzheimer's disease, and many more initiatives. Savannah Tolme Olson has the story.
Wisconsin currently gets about $653 million in research funding from the National Institutes of Health. Just one example of what these researchers are working on. Professor Sterling Johnson is leading a study to help diagnose Alzheimer's disease years before people even have symptoms and ways to slow disease progression.
The Alzheimer's Center is providing a lot of the glue. It's helping us train the next generation of scientists who will be facing the future iterations of this disease.
Sigrid Canuti has been participating in that research at UW for 20 years.
I'm in the study because I'm a woman, and therefore I have a 50% chance, higher rate of having Alzheimer's than a man. I'm also in it because I'm a daughter of someone who had Alzheimer's, which increases my risk. I have had cognitive tests, MRIs, PET scans, spinal taps, and even an endurance test on a treadmill. I really feel like I've been honored to be a part of this. It's so big, it's so important, and it's very hopeful.
On top of that, UW System President Jay Rothman says these research cuts will harm Wisconsin's economy. Advocates say biomedical research and tech companies come to Madison because of the sophisticated research and the highly skilled researchers coming out of UW. Wisconsin is part of a lawsuit against the Trump administration fighting these cuts. Last week, a judge put the administration's plans on hold a second time, but that's only temporary. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Packers active in free agency. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers will have a new look to their offensive line. They signed 49ers left guard Aaron Banks to a four-year deal worth $77 million. Elgton Jenkins will move over to center. On defense, the Packers adding another former Raider cornerback, Nate Hobbs, who receives a four-year contract worth $48 million, $16 million guaranteed. NBA, it's the Bucks and the Pacers tonight in Indianapolis. Baseball, Brewers with a 7-5 win over the Mariners. Christian Yelich with a home run says besides William Contreras, the crew still has